Well, good afternoon to each and every one of you out there in Stand in the Gap territory. It is a delight to have you with us today, and we want to thank you so very, very much for the pleasure of your company. And along with Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dull. And later on today, we will be having with us Dr. Jim Hendershot, who is on with us on the first Monday of every month. And he has written an article relative to some of the things we are facing in America today. The title of his article is Without Understanding, We Are Destroyed. And we are going to be getting to him during the second segment of our program today. But David and Sam, did the both of you have a very good 4th of July weekend and holiday? Did you celebrate it right, Sam?
Gary, well, I think we celebrated it fine. We had a family get-together, and then yesterday, actually last evening, it was a Sunday evening. We generally don't do it, but it was we have a family Sunday at our church. But we actually went to the Lancaster area and observed fireworks, the Army band playing in the evening. There were over 35,000 people gathered there on an outdoor area lawn to observe one of the finest presentations and patriotic singing and all of that. It was most it was very, very good, and there was no trouble. Fortunately, there was no trouble. There were no incidents of anybody trying to do anything. I think that would have been a really tough group for somebody to have shown up for trouble. I think they were prepared to act, I think.
Yes,
but
I would
nothing
say,
happened.
You know, the, of course, the FBI and others, Homeland Security, put us on high alert all last weekend because of the anticipation that something might take place. But I've not heard of anything at all across this country. Have you? Nothing.
No, I haven't. And that's a real praise. I mean, it really is. You know, which takes us back to what Dave said last week, was how much of it was really a matter of fear as compared to actual action. Don't know, because fear can be debilitating also. But fortunately, there was nothing at this point.
Yeah, that's what terrorists like to do. Mm-hmm. They like to build fear in us. David, what did you do for the 4th of July weekend, my friend?
Well, Gary, we had about 30 people here at our house on the morning or the early afternoon of the 4th. We always have a barbecue here, and we had some of the finest Texas barbecue you could possibly enjoy. And then around 5:30, we made our way to what is called the Trail of Faith in historic Valdez, North Carolina, and we have a 4th of July celebration that for 8 years we've been a part of. And this year I was honored and privileged to be the speaker again at that. And Nathan Sang, the group that he travels with, the Hoppers, they also came up and spent the afternoon with us and were part of the barbecue here at our home, and then sang at the Trail of Faith. And so it was a wonderful, wonderful evening, interrupted briefly by a small shower. And then once that was out of the way, we were able to actually didn't even really interrupt anything. It just caused people to step under some covered areas briefly. But it was a great day. And then yesterday we had a very heavy patriotic emphasis at our church. And our pastor preached a phenomenal sermon on the nation we love. It was just absolutely outstanding, calling America to repentance, calling our church to repentance. And so we had a banner weekend, to put it mildly.
Well, that's good. We did a number of the same things that you men have done. We had 22 people at our house on Saturday for a cookout, picnic, and I guess everyone who was there was a relative, and so we had a great time and had some rain, but we didn't allow that to stop us. We continued throughout the course of the day. And then yesterday, of course, at Faith Baptist Church, I preached I had a patriotic sermon. We had a patriotic service. That's always a blessing. And then last night at church, we had an outdoor patriotic service. And, you know, we sort of turned up our speakers and blew the sound all over South Altoona. And nobody came to arrest us. But we did have a great time, and it was a great time of fellowship as we honored America. And what I did yesterday in the morning service, Sam and Dave, is in the process of thanking God for this nation. We also honored the military, the veterans, because, you know, they are the ones who have given their blood, sweat, and tears for the freedoms that we have here in the United States of America. So we had a special honor for them as well. So it was a great day. And we got through it well and enjoyed it. But, you know, not everybody got through the 4th of July celebration unscathed. I don't know if you men are aware of this, but from Calais, Maine, and that's almost up in Canada, we get a report that a young man was celebrating the 4th of July, and he tried to launch a firework off the top of his head. Now, I understand.
Is this serious, Gary? Are you setting Sam and I up for something?
Yeah. No, sir. I am absolutely serious. This was reported on Fox News. He was doing some drinking, and he wanted to launch this firework from off the top of his head. He obviously fatally injured himself. And from what we are told, they're going to have a closed casket at his viewing because his head was completely blown apart. I mean, that sounds
seriously.
Unbelievable.
I'm serious. And wow. Can you imagine? I mean, you know, they tell us how dangerous fireworks are, but I've never known of anybody who tried to light one from off the top of his head.
See, Gary, under normal circumstances, you're going to have somebody step up and recommend some legislation out of Congress to require that helmets are worn by all of those who shoot off fireworks, or that they put labels from now on every package of fireworks saying that they cannot be shot off from the top of your head. Mark my word. Mark my word.
Yeah. Oh, I have no doubt. Gentlemen, do you remember several years ago the gentleman that tried to take his – well, he did. He didn't try to do it. He did it. Took weather balloons and attached them to his lawn chair and took a six-pack of beer and a BB gun and went up into the air and was going to hover over his neighborhood. But the weather balloons filled with with helium took him higher than he planned on going. He ended up getting into the air traffic pattern outside the local airport. And One of the pilots radioed in and said, "You're not going to believe what I saw. A gentleman in a lawn chair being suspended by hot weather balloons with a BB gun and a six-pack of beer. I just passed him as I'm landing on approach."
I remember
true
that.
True story. True story.
I remember that very, very well. I mean, that's getting up in life, isn't it?
It is. And he won that year's annual Darwin Award for being the craziest stunt.
Well, folks, you're listening to the news of the day.
The rest of the story. Paul Harvey doesn't share it anymore. I don't know. Did that man survive that, Dave? I don't remember the rest of the story.
Well, he actually did. He used his BB gun to fire, holes into the balloons, and then he descended back down to Earth and did survive. But my goodness, what a dangerous stunt to pull. Okay.
Well, we're going to have to take a break. We'll be back with more right after this. So stay tuned to Stand in the Gap Today. You won't want to miss it, ladies and gentlemen.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap Today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap Today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people, didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Prior to the Civil War, there were two major political parties, the Democrats, who believed Americans should have the freedom of choice to own a slave, and the Whigs, who wanted to be the Big Tent Party, embracing free and slave states. But on this day, July 6, 1854, a group of anti-slavery men met in Jackson, Michigan, to start a new party demanding the fugitive slave law be repealed. Their chief plank was to prohibit those twin relics of barbarism, polygamy, and slavery. They call themselves the Republican Party.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap today. And we are going to go to Dr. Jim Hendershot and speak with him about an article that he's written recently that's been published in the Somerset, Pennsylvania newspaper. But before we do, we understand there's a shooting that has gone on outside of Walter Reed Hospital down in the Washington, D.C. area. David Kistler, do you have any update on that, please, sir?
Well, Gary, even as we went into commercial, I began monitoring this a little more closely. It looks like they've got Walter Reed locked down. There's traffic backed up around the facility. And anyone that knows anything about that that particular medical complex, it is a very large complex. And so they're obviously keeping traffic away from the area where now they are saying a shot. Before we went to the break, they were saying shots, plural, were fired. Now they're saying a shot. And it looks like a little bit more relaxed atmosphere. There is a picture on the screen of armed security guards and they do not look to be in any real intense mode at this point. They appear to be smiling some, but the media and all of the public are being kept a significant distance back from the gates going into Walter Reed. So I'll continue monitoring this, Gary and Sam, as the program unfolds. And if anything of import needs to be stated, then I'll let you gentlemen know.
Okay, sounds like a deal. Dr. Jim Hendershot, welcome back to Stand in the Gap today, my friend. Glad to have you with us.
Well, we're glad to be with you today as well. And Walter Reed Hospital is an outstanding hospital for the veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great hospital. So we're just praying for what's happening and taking place there right now. So it's good to be with you two today and with you three. And so in the area of our Constitution. And so I think that that what is happening today is that basically we did the study on 85% of the Americans do not know that before the Constitution was written, that they were inspired by a document called the Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, in the Declaration of Independence, it stated that our rights did not come from our Constitution or our Supreme Court or our Congress, but our rights came from God. And this is, it says it's predated and preexisted before the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And so it goes on basically quickly that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that they are empowered by our creator with a certain unalienable rights. And I'd like to emphasize on that, that the rights are unalienable and they come from God. And so that is totally over the Constitution, you see.
Some people have said down through the years that when you really understand it, that we refer to the Constitution as the supreme law of the land, but without the Declaration of Independence, we would not have the supreme law of the land. And in reality, the Declaration of Independence could also be considered the supreme law of the land. Is that correct?
That's very true. In Article Section 2, it says that the judicial power shall extend in all cases arising, here's the key, under this Constitution. They're not, and it's not over the Constitution. They're working, it's under the Constitution. This is the hook that they have been hooking us in and believing that the federal judges now will have power over our rights, you see. But our rights will be no longer unalienable from God. And see, that's not working here, you see. And so our God, that's why our Creator God transferred all his creatures to the judicial branch. The power to determine our rights is simply hogwash. God determines our rights. And the American people today really don't really understand this. And I believe that it comes from the last 15 to 20 years of not teaching history of our Constitution and history of our American heritage. And the people today are very, very lax in all this. They could care less about this today. So that's what I'm saying. And then I read also about Alexandria Hamilton, where he had the Federalists there, number 84, I believe it was, the Bill of Rights, which would be needed to regulate those who observe their powers. And this is exactly what's happening today. He knew back in his days that we needed to have it because people's going to observe their power, and this is what's happening with our Supreme Court today.
Well, Sam, I want to go to you in talking about this Supreme Court situation. It just seems like not only with the Supreme Court, but on the throughout the judicial system on every level, it seems as though a lot of our judges want to legislate from the bench. And, of course, you know, I think basically what Jim Hendershot is saying, that when they do that, they are really reaching into the inalienable rights that God has given to us and taking our rights away from us in many, many ways. And, of course, we could cite a number of different cases where that has happened. Sam, you know, that concerns me, and I know that it concerns you. And this is a question you may not have the answer to, but then again, maybe you do. Where did this all begin, that those who sat on the bench began to legislate from the bench rather than just to interpret the law, which is their rightly responsibility to do according to the Constitution?
Gary, I think it's I think it began with a rejection of what we would term to be a biblical worldview that recognizes that our form of government was built out of and built upon, again, what we generally call a Judeo-Christian foundation. The splitting up of the totalitarian king only, where the king is the judge and the jury and the legislature and all of that together, that concept of dividing that up was every bit biblical. It's what God established and laid out with Israel. Our founders knew it. They built on that. But our early founders also understood. And we've talked about it here before, here in Pennsylvania, frame of government. William Penn, which really probably influenced this whole thing more than anything, said it was impossible to move to this experiment of self-government, which is really what we have, unless you had the people who understood and those in office that were elected understood and voluntarily disciplined their own choices and actions in accordance with the Ten Commandments of God. Now, what was the point there? The point there was a higher moral law self-imposed by individual choice was the only thing that stood between self-government and a return to dictatorial, totalitarian position. And what we've had is a people that have forgotten that because it's been removed, hadn't been taught from the pulpit, removed from history. But then those who have stepped into office have neither understood it, and so they have refused to refrain themselves. This court ruling, as an example, by the justices on the marriage issue, five of them, as an example, they could have restrained themselves voluntarily and said, no, we don't have a right to exercise our will on this matter, but they chose not to restrain themselves, and this is what we have. So, Gary, I'd say it starts from a failure to understand those fundamental positions undergirding it, and when those have been thrown to the side, all you have is an increasingly consolidated and firm central form of government, whether it's in the executive branch or the legislative or in the judicial. That's how I'd answer that question. I think it was a good question.
Well, you know, it's interesting, not necessarily tied into Dr. Hendershot's article, but it does relate. Earlier this morning, I read an article by Eric Erickson, who, of course, he's a contributing columnist to a number of different newspapers and Fox News across the nation. But he made the statement that in light of what the Supreme Court did last week, that a lot of the men, excuse me, and I would say probably women who are a part of various courts across this nation have really recognized that the United States has divorced itself from the Judeo-Christian values and laws. And because of the fact that what the Supreme Court did last week divorces us from the Judeo-Christian values of our nation, that according to Eric Erickson, he believes that what we're going to see is a trend where more and more justices on the bench will start to legislate, will start to make decisions, will start to render opinions that completely are away from the biblical principles upon which this nation was founded. If that trend does really come into fruition, Dave Kistler, we are in a major, major and serious situation here in the United States of America today. Your thoughts on that?
Well, Gary, if I could say this, the concept of three, co-equal branches of government came really from the book of Isaiah chapter 33 verse 22, where mm-hmm. the scripture says, "The Lord, he is our lawgiver. The Lord, he is our judge. The Lord, he is our king. He will save us." And there you have the three branches of government. We have definitely gotten away from that, and human nature is such that if given the occasion, whether it be an executive, whether it be the judicial branch or the legislative branch, they will usurp their appropriate position and try to exercise more authority than is theirs. So that's what we're watching happen in the United States of America currently.
Yes, and we need to figure out ways in which we can stop this in our nation, and I think there are ways we can if we have the backbone to do it. We will return with more Stand in the Gap today, right after this, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of providence which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Fox News Radio, I'm Paul Stevens. There's a new boss at the Transportation Security Administration, Peter Neffinger.
He's tasked with implementing a new 10-point plan to improve air travel security, which includes more manual screening at checkpoints. Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson says changes could also be coming to the TSA pre-check program.
We've seen longer and longer short lines, and so I've asked TSA to take a good look at whether we have the right approach.
Neffinger replaces John Pistol.
Fox Radio's Rachel Sutherland in Washington. A violent holiday weekend in Chicago. A 7-year-old boy among five people killed.
Police say someone opened fire just before midnight Saturday night in the Humboldt Park neighborhood, hitting young Amari Brown. Police say the boy's father, whom they called a ranking gang member, was the intended target. He was injured and hospitalized.
Fox Radio's Pat O'Neill. Fox News. We report. You decide.
Chances are there'll never be an emergency ever again. But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
Who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The Resource Library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today, along with David Kissler and Sam Rohr. I'm Gary Dahl. And in the last segment, we had on with us Dr. Jim Hendershot, who is talking about the fact in a recent article that he wrote that without understanding, we are destroyed. And in that article that was in the Somerset, Pennsylvania newspaper, he emphasizes the fact that many people do not understand the United States system. They do not understand the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. And because of that, many times we are lured away from reality, from the truth of the law. And we so often see that in the courts of our nation. And just before we went into the break, we were talking about an article that Eric Erickson has published, and you can probably get this if you go to www.foxnews.com/opinion. And in that particular article, he basically says that what is going on is that the politicians in the Oklahoma Supreme Court that basically said that a freestanding monument to the Ten Commandments is not constitutional. That was not a decision by the federal court, the federal Supreme Court. That was a decision by the Oklahoma Supreme Court. And in doing that, he basically said that the Oklahoma Supreme Court is the first of the state courts in the Supreme Courts in this nation that is divorcing itself from the Judeo-Christian values and laws in following the trend established by the United States Supreme Court a week and a half ago when they, as it were, legalized same-sex marriage. He goes on in his particular article, and he says, "We are neither a republic nor a democracy these days." He went on to say that no politician will cut the budget of the courts. No one will deprive them of the law clerks or power bills or even impeach them to the point that they can get away with anything these days short of outright crime. Then he said this, Sam. He said, "Judges in the United States are not scared of the people. They think they rule the people. And until legislation and executives are willing to push back, or legislatures and executives are willing to push back, we are out of a representative democracy and into an oligarchy of black-robed masters." I mean, that's quite straightforward. And, you know, my question is, we do know that, for instance, on the national scene, and I think on the state scene as well, that the various legislators can push back the Supreme Courts and do have the ability to bring them into line. The question is, why don't they do that? Because if they don't do that, this country is going to be running amok before you know it of real law, where we're going to see more and more legislation from the bench rather than where it should be in the legislature. Why is there not a pushback of this in our country today?
Gary, I think there are a couple of reasons. Number one, I think as we talked about in the earlier section, we've put people into office by an uninformed citizenry as to what requires or what is in fact the proper qualifications for those who serve in office. Mm. We have gotten so far away from the concept that true integrity and character are critical to those that go into office, because without integrity, as we talked about, they're constraining one's actions according to higher moral law. Without that component, government will always become occupied with people who are given to the pursuit of greater and greater power. And when they become beneficiaries of it, Gary, they all become a part of one big pot who actually protect each other rather than protecting and defending the integrity of the institution to which they've taken an oath to support. Now, how does that happen? It happens, Gary, when considerations, votes, decisions from the court, votes made in office, are done for things other than that which complies with moral law or consistency with the Constitution and constitutional law. And anything other than that becomes bribery. The scripture speaks to us very, very clearly about when God is going to judge Israel, and he did. One of the greatest things was that those in positions of power had given themselves over to corruption and bribery, where justice, doing that which is right before God, was not done, but they allowed themselves to do those things which were convenient for personal or collective gain. Gary, this is what we are seeing in government, whether it's someone who wears a black robe or someone who wears a tie or someone who occupies the White House. This is the problem, and this is where we're going. We have substituted justice in the consideration of what is proper and right before God and before the Constitution with some other consideration. This is why talking about integrity and character when we consider candidates is critical if we're going to ever hope to get the kind of rulings that we need to out of those who are in office. Sorry to preach a little bit on it, but I feel strongly about it because it happens to be very true. This is why, Gary, this is why those are people are not stepping up and doing what they have taken an oath to support and defend.
Well, you know, it's interesting that in Jim Hendershot's article there, Jim, you mentioned the idea of the Federalist Papers. And, you know, I would venture to say that many people in our nation have no idea what the Federalist Papers are. As a matter of fact, a couple of years ago, I approached a prominent member of the school board here in Altoona, Pennsylvania, and I asked him whether or not in the school curriculum there is any teaching on the Federalist Papers. And his response was, first of all, he said, what are they? And then he said, secondly, I do not know. What are the Federalist Papers all about, Jim?
Right. Well, that's the area that we have to control us by. And because we found out that Ed Alexandra Hamilton put them together just to keep us in check. Now, there's two thoughts I want to make here very quickly, is that when we begin to substitute federal judges for God as our source of rights, you know, the entire concept of rights becomes perverted, and that's what's happened. I've talked to some Sodomites, I call them now, and they get mad at me. I talked to them a couple of days ago, and they were so happy about what happened. And I said, it's illegal, because judges Bader Ginsburg and Kaden, they both performed several solemnly gay marriages, you know, and they should have been disqualified, you see. And the votes were rigged, but then I got to tell them that every time the devil's in it, he rigs it. And they didn't like that too well. So that's one point. Another point is that I want to know that our moral compass is enwrapped and developed in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. They're all interwrapped, our moral compass. And I want you to know that back in the schools in 1962, when they took prayer out of the schools and Bible studies, our moral compass started to go down. And they did a survey on this. Gallup did a survey of this last year that took up at 90%. They said that if the Bible is actually the Word of God, and who should be, it should be taken literally or of the Word of God. And they asked, is the Bible literally the Word of God? 79% of them polled that they believed what is relevant for them. So they only took out what the Word of God believed that was relevant for them. They didn't take out that the whole Word of God is true. And so we're losing our moral compass. I think we've lost started in 1962. A good friend of mine is William Murray, Madam Murray O'Hara's son, who has the Righteous Coalition in Washington. And he's going around traveling all over now, trying to correct what his mother did many, many, many years ago. And so I believe that the morality is all interwoven into the Declaration of Independence, because that's how our forefathers wanted it. That's what I believe.
Well, there's no doubt about it, and that is what our forefathers wanted. And, Jim, we appreciate your contribution to the program today. But, David, I want to go to you on this idea of the Federalist Papers. I wonder, and you travel the country, do Christians across this nation know about the Federalist Papers and understand what they're all about and why they're so significant today?
Well, Gary, they do not. Most people, you mentioned the Federalist Papers, they have no concept. They have no clue what that is. Obviously, initially, they were newspaper articles published by John Jay, Alexander Hamilton, and one other gentleman to basically help the American people understand the Constitution that had just been adopted, to understand what that Constitution was and what freedoms were guaranteed, what the limitations on government were. And so they are fascinating treatises on the Constitution, and we appeal to the Federalist Papers to understand the mindset and the thinking of the Founding Fathers themselves. So there is, Gary, absolute ignorance of what the Federalist Papers are, what they deal with across America.
Well, there is an ignorance out there, and ladies and gentlemen, I'd encourage you, you can buy books with the Federalist Papers elaborated upon, I would encourage you to go to your neighborhood bookstore and buy a book, learn about the Federalist Papers. It'll help you to understand some of the great rights and privileges that our founders knew that we had here in the United States of America. We will be back with more right after this, so please do not go away.
Blessed is a man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask of God who gives generously to all. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, online at thelifegroup.org. For nearly 40 years, we have worked with believers and especially widows across the nation. We all need wisdom as it relates to our finances, taxes, and estate planning, but no one more than the widow who must manage on her own. We are financial advisors committed to a biblical worldview. We assist with your income taxes and give advice to help keep your taxes low. We also carefully invest your money to provide a comfortable retirement income, and we work closely with Christian attorneys to draft a believer's will and powers of attorney. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800. That's 1-800-688-5800 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. The implications of last month's Supreme Court decision ordering all 50 states to redefine marriage to allow unions of same-sex couples continue to become more evident. A writer in Time magazine has called for all churches and religious organizations that hold that marriage is between a man and a woman to lose their tax-exempt status. That alone would put many Christian schools and colleges, as well as other ministries, out of business. Free speech could very well be curtailed. Religious liberty is under challenge, which is why we must continue to stand. I hope you'll join us as we continue to fight for life, family, and religious liberty.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute. Protect the family. Preserve the future. We depend on your tax-deductible contributions to fund our pro-family work. Please consider a generous contribution today. You can donate online at pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
The book of Jude shouts God's warning to America. Certain people will sneak into the church, pretend to believe in God, but like Satan, deny the power of God and the authority of Jesus Christ. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. Like Sodom and Gomorrah, these religious but ungodly people will pursue egregious sexual immorality, defile the institution of marriage, detest moral authority, and fully corrupt themselves. Jude says these people, like clouds without rain, are ignorant and arrogant. In these times, Jude says to take heart, because the Lord Jesus himself will soon come with 10,000 angels and execute justice against all those who deny his authority. These mockers may sound bold, but they will fall before the justice of God. The command for us? Contend for the faith. Keep ourselves in the love of God and look for the mercy of God. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network saying with Jude, trust in God who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the throne.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The Resource Library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
We want to thank Dr. Jim Hendershot for being with us, but I want to shift gears here a little bit. Ladies and gentlemen, here at the American Pastors Network, Stand in the Gap Today, we are going to be continuing to keep you up to date as to what is going on in the presidential campaign, because we believe that in this next election, we would like to see a man of God there in the White House in Washington, D.C., who will not only lead us economically and as it relates to our foreign and domestic policies and so forth, but who would also lead us according to biblical truth. And maybe it would be great if we had somebody in the White House who would even lead us back to a national repentance and turning back to God. But Sam and Dave, it's interesting as we watch what is going on, particularly in the Republican side of the campaign, that we've got two men right now who really don't mind telling you just exactly like it is. And, of course, I'm talking about Chris Christie and Donald Trump. And I don't know that I would be voting for Donald Trump, Sam, but, you know, when you listen to what he is saying, he has some good points. And, of course, you know, he has gotten fired from, what is it, NBC and a number of other different organizations have walked away from him. We find that other Republicans are criticizing him and distancing themselves from him. And I'm wondering if that criticism that's coming from some of these other Republican candidates when they are doing what they can to distance themselves from him, I'm wondering if what they are doing is good or bad for the Republican Party. I mean, he may not always say things the way that you and I would like to have things said, but sometimes, Sam, I think that Donald Trump is more on target than some of these other establishment Republican Party candidates may be. What do you think, sir?
Well, Gary, I think the one thing that he's contributing that scares the living daylights out of the establishment folks is the fact that he speaks with a certain level of credibility. From the standpoint, he is a successful businessman, and they cannot dispute that. But he speaks very clearly as an outsider. He speaks as one who talks basically as we would say, guys, step up, get a backbone. Guys, where are you in the fight? He lays out these simple financial principles that saying you can't. How long do you think you can spend more than you have? I mean, some of these very basic things are what he is speaking. And I find it interesting that the establishment folks, which includes some of the other candidates, what they don't like about him is that he says these things. So what you are hearing to undercut him is that, well, he's just an entertainer, or he's just a TV figure face, or whatever you might say, as a way of taking and demeaning. But, you know, any of the candidates who speak truth are going to be or are being diminished and marginalized by the powers that be. Trump is not right on all of the issues by any means. But on those issues, he is telling the truth. I think it's what truth is under attack. If you look at Gary and Dave, I think some of these other candidates and find out where the establishment and the opponents go to attack them, I think you're going to find it lines up pretty much on those areas that would reflect truth, be it constitutional truth or a component of moral truth. And it doesn't mean that the candidates are all fully correct. It just means that wherever they speak the truth, that's where I think you're going to find the opposition. I think we have to keep that in mind and kind of make notes as we go down this path. I think it'll be very interesting to see what it is that's being spoken again and resisted by the establishment that's really bought into maintaining the system, not overhauling the problems of the current system.
Explain to our people what we mean by the establishment, Sam. We use that term quite frequently here in the program. Explain to the people what we mean by that.
Gary, I probably should do that. I thank you for that. The establishment, when we refer to that, the establishment are those that are within the party structure. could be the Republican Party structure, could be the Democrat Party structure. It could be many of those who are in office, many of those who are in Congress in the positions of key leadership, the Mitch McConnells on the one side, or the, you know, or the John Boehners on the House side, and the Democrat Harry Reid's, and back and forth. These folks, by and large, are all establishment folks, meaning they are more concerned about the preservation of the status quo. They're more concerned about the maintenance of the power of government than they are about morally what's correct or certainly what is constitutionally mandated. That's why neither side go the effort of going the way of holding the justices accountable. That's why both sides are going to be in agreement and follow down the line of supporting much of what this president is saying, even though they will talk privately in the side about, you know, they don't like it. They do it. Why is it? Because they're more concerned about maintaining status quo and the power of centralized government, what they consider to be gains, rather than that which the Constitution says or that which God says. That is collectively, Gary, what the establishment really is all about.
And David Kistler, you know, as we look at the establishment, we can see things therein that would hinder our nation rather than strengthen our nation biblically as well as constitutionally and so forth. What can be done to break that establishment?
Well, Gary, I think what needs to be done is electing of individuals that are not part of that establishment. Let me give you, for instance, and this is what I think is the appeal, in addition to what Sam said, the success of Donald Trump and the fact that he is considered an outsider. He is not a professional politician, never been a professional politician. I think this is the appeal of Donald Trump. He comes from the outside. And until we start electing people that have not just grown up through the process, that have grown up in and around government, and all they have known is government, but they have done something outside of government and done it successfully. And Donald Trump is certainly that. I had lunch yesterday with a gentleman from our church. He is a business owner. His wife is also a business owner. Both of them are very successful. And the topic of the elections came up. Donald Trump came up. And this gentleman said this. He said, look, I don't always agree with Donald Trump on everything. He is certainly not a bastion of morality in a lot of areas. He is certainly not a biblical scholar in any stretch of the imagination, but he is a successful businessman. He is coming from the outside. When he speaks relative to finance, when he speaks relative to the Constitution most of the time, when he speaks relative to the nation of Israel, when he talks about what America should be doing with reference to China and other world powers, he is almost unequivocally on target in every one of those areas. Now, again, this is not a promotion of Donald Trump, except to say this. He holds appeal because he is from the outside. And I think what we're going to have to do is start electing people that have done something successful outside government itself. They have common sense. They have common sense solutions. They're used to solving problems rather than creating more of them. And to be honest with you, man, I think Donald Trump's stock's going to go up as we approach this first debate coming up here in a few weeks, rather than his stock going down.
Oh, no doubt about it. In 5 seconds, Sam, does Donald Trump have a chance?
He has a small chance ultimately, but he has a big chance to influence the discussion.
There you go. We'll talk more about that later, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on today's edition of Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network. The Lord willing, we will be back with you again tomorrow. Until then, on behalf of Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dull saying stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, for the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dull, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.